Okay, we want to welcome you this morning. We're going to take just a few minutes to share some thoughts from the Word of God that we hope will be an encouragement to you as we face a time that's difficult, a time that is frustrating, a time that we just all need to look to the Lord Jesus. So let's pray first of all. Heavenly Father, we pray that right now your Spirit would guide us. Give us the words that would be of comfort and encouragement to one another. Enable us, Lord, each to reach out to each other and support each other in prayer and encouragement. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Been thinking a lot this week about the subject of fear. The word fear or be afraid or don't be afraid shows up in the Old Testament about 320 times. The word in the Greek shows up in the New Testament another 40 times roughly, or a little more than that. And so you get the idea. In fact, I heard somebody say just recently that the idea of not being afraid or not fearing shows up 365 times, and that's enough for every day. So you may want to look for that. You may want to look and see, what does the Bible say about fear? What makes us fearful? I think at times it's a fear of the unknown, not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow. I get phone calls on a regular basis from a friend of mine, and he says, have you heard what they've done now? They're going to close all the schools. They're going to close all the grocery stores. And then he called back a little later. Well, the president's talking about us having to stay in our houses and not going. All of these things come up far before they're ever decided. People are speculating about a lot of different things. And so in a time of just not knowing what's going to happen next, sometimes people become fearful. Sometimes in a time of danger, I remember as a young teenager walking one night in the dark down a little road and hearing a rattlesnake. Pitch black, I couldn't see a thing, but in that danger, I became fearful. I waited about, seemed like 2 minutes, it may not have been that long, and then ran. And the snake had already gone by that point. So danger causes us to have fear. Sometimes it's health issues that cause us to have fear, as we're seeing now. Sometimes it's finances. Many different things cause us to have fear. Billy Graham said a number of years ago, historians will probably call our era the age of anxiety. Anxiety is the natural result when our hopes are centered in anything short of God and His will for us. Now, when do you think Billy Graham said that? Oh, he must have said that just before he died a few years ago. No, he said it in 1965. 1965, the world was a fearful place. I remember those years. Some of you are too young to know that. But I remember riots on the streets at a presidential parade. I remember people marching against the war in Vietnam. And so there was a lot of disruption and disturbance in our country. But in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25, at its best, anxiety distracts us from our relationship with God and the truth. Jesus, the Lord of heaven and earth, that's what we get distracted from Him. At its worst, anxiety is a crippling disease, taking over our minds and plunging our thoughts into darkness. The Bible says, do not be anxious for anything in chapter 4 of Philippians. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You see, We don't need to be anxious because the peace of God can guide our hearts and minds. Our instructions don't stop there. The chapter goes on to say, we're not to fear terrorism or illness or death or evil. He says, finally, brothers, whatsoever things are true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What an exhortation. Rather than thinking about fear and tomorrow and all the other things we can't control, he says, think about what's true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent. Anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds. So the first step to having peace in the midst of all this conflict is to give your life to Jesus Christ, to allow him to be the one in control of your life. That's not an easy believism type of thing. It's a more sincere. It's a putting your trust in him. John 14, verses 2 and 3 talk about that. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, ye shall be with me. So he tells us to trust in him. I want to share 10 Bible verses, and I'll make these available to you in print so you don't have to try to write them down. 10 Bible verses that talk to us about being free and not anxious about fear. Sorry about this. Thought I had them all right here with me. Here they go. John chapter 14 and verse 27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's a promise from John 14, 27. From Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Deuteronomy chapter 31, come to me all you, or if the it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Today we need rest for our souls, don't we? To get that rest, we need to come to Jesus each day. John chapter 16, I have said these things unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, coronavirus. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 13. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult. Break forth, O mountains, into singing, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted. In 2 Timothy, Paul says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So where does this fear come from then? Where does it come into? How does it affect our lives in such a powerful way? I think its source is in the devil. He has come to kill and to steal and to destroy, and he does that many times by creating fear. Psalm 41, verse 10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So these are verses that in a powerful way show how God will care for us, he will comfort us, he will encourage us. Now, what does that mean for us as a group of believers? I think what it means is that we need to pray for each other. I would encourage you every day to take that assembly directory and pray for every person on that list. Pray for their children. Pray for the needs that you know they have, and then just ask God to bless them in a way that only he can do it. He knows our needs. So first of all, pray for each other. Secondly, also, let's be an encouragement to each other. We may not be able to go into each other's homes and see each other, but we can text each other. We can email each other. We can contact. What if we all set it as a goal this week that I'm going to contact everybody on that directory list and just say, "I'm praying for you. I love you and I care for you. I'm lifting you up before the Lord." So that's another thing that we can do to be an encouragement. Now, my granddaughter's sitting here next to me trying to help me with this computer so that we do it right. And it'd be okay with me if she made some chocolate chip cookies or some of her homemade banana bread and left it on my porch every once in a while. Now, she's snickering, but you know what I'm talking about. We can do things to encourage each other. So let's set that as a goal this week. Next Sunday morning, Stephen will be sharing with us some ways that we can give comfort and encouragement. So until then, you can put things on here to encourage one another. There's many things that you can do and say that will focus us on Jesus. Amen.